Well, hello. This is Jeff Gaudiosi, and you're on MisplacedStraws.com, where music comes to life. And my guest today really is the embodiment of the term rock star. If you've seen him live, he just owns the stage, and his playing is just as dynamic in the studio. You probably know him best for his decade of touring with Trans-Siberian Orchestra, or maybe for his work in Whitesnake, with Cher, with Night Ranger, the original Rock of Ages. As you can see, he's a pretty busy guy. But on February 12th, he's going to release his second record under the moniker Joel Hoekstra's 13. It's called Running Games. Please welcome Joel Hoekstra. Welcome, Joel.
Thank you so much. Great to be here.
And, you know, kind of joke a little bit about how busy you are, but this is the second release as Joel Hoekstra's 13. The first one, Dying to Live, came out in 2015. Did this pandemic break give you a chance to write and record this record, or did you always plan to have it out around now?
No, it was being worked on, but it did give me the opportunity to finish it up. 2019 was just crazy. I mean, I was on the road 285 days out of the year, so it was challenging, and the other guys too. You know, I mean, we got really a lineup of people who are in demand, so it gave everybody the opportunity to finish it up. So thrilled to have it finally seeing the light of day.
And you mentioned the other guys. You have a stellar band, most of which were with you on the first 13 record. Russ Allen, Vinny Appice, Tony Franklin, Derek Sherinian, Jeff Scott Soto. As a writer, how much of a boost does it give you to know that you could literally write anything because you have those guys behind you who can make it come to life?
Yeah, I think having them back for this record just gives the name, the project, a sound, which I'm happy about.
Mm-hmm.
I just wouldn't want to put out a record that sounded completely different, have people guessing and going, you know. I think it's cool that people can kind of know what it is that I'm doing under that name. And then really just being able to write for them, just knowing what they play like and having the opportunity. So I'd say the formula was the same as Dying to Live, but just maybe a little bit more focused this time around.
Yeah, and now there's a continuity. Again, with the first record, it's, you know, okay, here's this great band, but now it's continuing. It's the same guys. As you said, it's the same sound. And I think people get a little more comfortable now listening to this, knowing it's a band, not just a one-off thing.
Yeah, I mean, I consider it a project because it's something that sounds like a band when you listen to it, but it's different in the sense that I do all the writing. So I write the guitar riffs and the vocal melodies and lyrics and everything. So it's very much my baby, but I want to put out albums right now that sound like band music, you know? I mean, that's the scene I'm in, and I already have three instrumental albums out from past years, so it would be a little weird to call it like a solo album because, you know, somebody else is singing and it sounds like a band when you listen to it. So it fell somewhere in between, like the band and solo album. So I guess the side project name made the most sense in the end.
And is it a different mindset for you when it comes to creating a song top to bottom for this project versus like co-writing with, you know, for instance, Revan, David, and Whitesnake?
So, I mean, it's just different in that I carry more of the weight. Like I said, just, you know, with Whitesnake, I write some of the guitar riffs. So that's kind of the way that worked, at least on Flesh and Blood. So obviously it's just, you know, it's my baby. So obviously I'm going to get more input on it and I get to call on the mixing and all that stuff, which is nice. And, so yeah, there you go. I mean, I'm perfectly happy. Making albums is more of a collaborative thing and as part of a band as well. But every once in a while, it's fun too, to be the big dog, I guess, or the boss.
And are you always writing? Like, do these songs date back to, you know, around the time of the first record? Or is it, okay, you know, I want to put out a 13 record. Let me sit and write it.
I mean, I usually write with a purpose. So stuff gets written. There's occasionally I'll write some things and go, oh, that's cool. And I'll just drop it down on my phone real quick so I remember it. But I typically do things in my career with like a purpose. Okay. So I'm writing for this because that way I'm thinking about the personnel and whether or not it would fit on that album and what it would need. And So that's just the way I operate. I like to have that specific mission for it.
And what is it about the number 13 that lent itself to the title of the project?
Yeah, you know, just a lucky number, and I thought it would be a cool little short thing to add to my name. And I think if you added a two-word band name after that, it starts to get pretty lengthy. And it's like I said, in a way, it's a solo album because I'm doing all the writing and it's really my thing. But so it's nice to have my name attached to it, and then just something quick and short as the name. So it seemed to make sense.
And with most of these guys, you've done a couple kind of one-off things, you know, with the Monsters of Rock cruise and events like that. You know, again, assuming at some point we're all going to be normal again, do you ever see taking 13 out on the road, or is this just a studio and a one-off live kind of thing?
Man, it's impossible to say at this point in time. I mean, you know, when and if the world opens up, we'll take it from there. But yeah, it was cool to do the one gig on the Monsters of Rock cruise in support of Dying to Live. And I definitely would love to do that. So we'll see. It's going to be interesting. You know, if we do get back to concerts, I'm sure everybody's going to want to go out at the same time. So we'll see.
Yeah. You know, we talked a little bit about Whitesnake, and, you know, the band's put out kind of the Red, White, and Blue compilation records over the past year or so. Any activity on getting toward new music? And I have to tell you, whenever I interview Reb, he answers all Whitesnake questions with a David Coverdale impression. So you're up on it.
Well, we just all wait for whatever David's vision is for Whitesnake. So, you know, obviously I'd be thrilled if David wants to record some new music, but we'll see. I haven't heard anything yet, so no news on that front.
One thing I think that really impresses me about your career is that all of your projects, whether it's 13 or TSO or Whitesnake or playing with Cher, everything has a slightly different style and audience to it. I mean, the crowds probably don't overlap a whole lot between like Whitesnake and Cher. I think TSO sort of brings all of it in. But does having that diversity in all of those projects really keep it interesting and keep being on the road as much as you are interesting for you?
Yeah, I mean, just having an opportunity to get better on my instrument and do it in the real world, you know, be out actually playing music, not just sitting home, like practicing a lick all day or anything like that, to get it on YouTube. So any opportunity I have to do that, play my guitar for a living and get better, and I'm in. So I think it's a great opportunity for me to have had all these things. I mean, most people would be happy to have one of those gigs. So definitely blessed, you know, very good.
And you mentioned how many dates you're on the road in 2019. What's the past year been like for you, you know, acclimating to not being on the road? Has it been a little strange?
Strange, but busy, very, very busy. I mean, I would say probably busier now that I'm at home right now. I basically took to finishing the album and doing lots of writing with people, doing sessions for people, playing on other people's stuff, teaching a ton, teaching private Skype lessons. It's like 30 a week of that right now, and master classes for Rock and Roll Fantasy Camp, doing Cameo private messages for people, which is fairly time consuming. I do a lot of those. And gosh, about the quarantine videos, producing some of those, having the opportunity to put out Jane with Mike Portnoy and Dino Jalucic.
That was amazing. I was going to bring that up.
Yeah, and cover Stormbringer. Yeah. So the Echo Bats project with Tony Harnell. So it's been a really, really busy year, and now doing press for the album. And so I'm going all day, every day, pretty much.
And, you know, there have been a lot of those kind of quarantine videos and things like that. Yeah. How, as a fan watching those, you see the video, it looks seamless. How is it putting it together with people in different places and trying to edit it all together? I mean, it seems like it'd be a pretty time-consuming job.
Well, yes and no. I mean, you try and get everybody to – it gives an opportunity, I think, for people to work together without it being a commercial endeavor, so it takes all the business out of it, like, hey, is the record label going to be cool with that, and et cetera, et cetera. So it's actually, and I just try to look at the positive side of it, and that, like, hey, it gives me an opportunity to work with people. I have another one that I'm working on right now that should be out soon, and it gives me the opportunity to work with some people who normally I wouldn't have an opportunity to do something with, and just do it in a fun, harmless environment where it's like strictly just for fun. It's almost like as close as we can get to having people from various bands just jam and, you know, cover a quick song. And it's not a big deal because we're not putting it out for money or anything like that. Just for kicks.
And, you know, we mentioned being home this year. I mean, one of the biggest losses of the year was the TSO tour. I mean, so many people look forward to that every year. How did you first get involved with the band?
Well, Alex Skolnick needed to take a year off to tour with his trio, and I had a couple friends in the band throw my name in as a guy that would be good. And just like anybody else, I auditioned once with Al Petrelli, and then I auditioned a second time with Paul O'Neill down in Tampa, Paul O'Neill and Al Petrelli, and they went well, and I was offered the job, and it was a bit of a dilemma at the time, because I went, well, I've got Night Ranger and Rock of Ages right now, and if I take this, that means every November, December, somehow. Rock of Ages wasn't too stressful, because you could sub out of that, and whenever you wanted without any risk of really losing your job. But then Night Ranger, that was weird because I hadn't subbed out from that band yet at that time. But I think in the end they understood. They were very cool. It was a good opportunity for me to be headlining arenas with something. And so, yeah, they were cool. And thankfully I was able to juggle all three there for a long period of time. I mean, that lasted, doing all three of them, about 4 or 5 years, I would say.
Yeah, and yeah, hopefully we'll get that band back on the road and to you back on the road as soon as we can with that.
Yeah, I would say that was probably the strangest thing about this year. Well, just because there have been some times where I haven't been out consistently with Whitesnake. And in 2017, David had knee surgery, and that's really what led to me playing with Cher, because I wasn't really going to tour with Whitesnake that year. So I just reached out to a bunch of people, seeing if anybody needed a fill in, and ended up working with Cher there for, I guess, you know, a few years. Right. And it evolved into more than just like pop in for a couple gigs, but I just built that year up. And so I guess, my point would be that there was times where I was not with Whitesnake, but TSO is like clockwork every year, you know. End of October, you go to Omaha, we rehearse and you head out for, like, you know, the most intense tour one could possibly imagine.
Yeah.
So it's just that for me is like, it's such a tradition at this point. Like, so it was strange not to have that this year.
And while you're playing, while you're up there with TSO and you're watching, you know, Russ Allen in particular and listening to him, you know, do you have thoughts going through your head of, okay, well, if you can do that, when we do 13, I'm having them, you know, do this, you know, does seeing Russ every night kind of help you with the writing?
I'd say more than that, it gives us an opportunity to get to know each other. So Russ and I have become friends through, I mean, we see each other every year and we're out on the road 2 months together. So, yeah, we're friends when we're doing these albums, which is different. And I would say him joining TSO really is what brought him on my radar in the first place, to see everything that he could do. I just, you know, at that time I was trying to find a singer for Dying to Live, and I just, everything I checked out from him, I went, well, this is the guy. I mean, he can sing.
Without a doubt.
He can sing Dio, he can sing Foreigner. Like, wow. Okay. There you go, man. That's what I'm looking for.
And, you know, we mentioned how everybody's going to want to hit the road as soon as it comes out. You know, with your major projects, with Whitesnake, with TSO, you know, and even with Cher, if you're still doing some stuff with her, have you already started kind of planning and prioritizing what's going to happen depending on when we can get back on the road?
No, God, no. No, I'm taking it. I'm going the opposite approach. I'm going it's never coming back. And so what do I do right now in the moment to make sure I'm moving forward? I think that's, you know, you're making assumptions and you don't want to jinx anything. So, yeah. I mean, look, I want to be pleasantly surprised. Don't get me wrong. But I'm just moving forward with the, like, what can I do today? Which is pretty much always my mental process, right? And in terms of staying productive, I mean, that's my philosophy, be productive every day. And if you just keep doing that, things will be fine. It just, I can't afford to take time off and go like, you know, I'll just lay low for a year and a half. Well, I'm not like, I can't roll with that type of mentality. I think there's a lot of people that are still just, you know, just waiting for things to open back up. And it's like, I'm not, I'm going.
Right. You have to have a plan in case it doesn't. So. Well, we've been spending some time here with Jill Hoekstra. He has a new record called Running Games, which is just fantastic. I've been listening to it pretty constantly since I was able to get a copy. It's out everywhere February 12th on Frontiers Records. There's physical copies, all of the streaming sites. Definitely recommend it. It's a great hard rock record with an amazing band behind you. So, Joel, thank you so much. Best of luck with this record, and hopefully we can see you on the road sometime soon with some of your projects.
Thank you so much. Well, my fingers are definitely crossed for it, you know, but in the meantime, it's just best to be productive. I think everybody can just we'll get through this better together if everybody just focuses on what they can do in the moment.
You got it. Sound words of advice. Joel, thank you so much. Best of luck, and we'll catch you soon.
Awesome. Thank you so much for your time. Appreciate it.
You got it. Bye.
All right. Bye-bye.